This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. And I want to welcome you to our Warning Television and Radio program. I have with me for the second time Lena Beach. Lena Beach, with the help of God, got free from addiction. And if you haven't seen that program, go to my website, worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. On the top, you'll see Watch TV Radio. Click it. We have a program on each and every day of the week, both radio and television, and you can find that interview. And this is really just a follow-up, because the first one I felt was so good and it would help so many people. And we ran out of time to continue to cover it in more detail. So, Lena, welcome back to the Warning program.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to go into a little more detail of what happened to you that caused you to break free from your addiction. Why don't you tell people that never watched the first one or listened, what type of addiction were you addicted to?
Drug addiction.
Okay, for how long?
On and off, probably since I was 16.
So how many years is that?
And I'll be 50 this year.
You're 50 this year?
So I'll be 50 this year.
34 years.
Yes. So I've had 3 years sobriety this time around.
So, okay, so now you've been free for 3 years, but you were addicted to for 31 years.
Yes.
All right. Now, Lena, at what point did you realize you needed help?
Well, I realized I needed help because I was facing several different battles that addiction brought on, which would stem from legal to my relationships to my finances. It really affected every single area of my life. So after several things happening on and off, over the years, I would go to treatment, get out, go to treatment, get out, having sobriety for a while and then relapsing again.
Wow. Okay. How did you discover the root of your addiction?
Well, after going out and coming back in so many times, that means, of course, having some sobriety time and then returning back to drugs. I kept wondering why that was happening. So there was a show that I was watching on Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN, and it was a guy on there that was giving his testimony. And it was a ministry that specifically catered to people in addiction. And he said on the screen, part of his testimony was discovering the root of his addiction. And I thought, wow, I've never heard it put like that. So that was early 2000. That is when I started to pray and ask God. I knew there was something deeper to what was going on with me and that I was just masking with drugs. So that's where the journey began, on dealing with the root of my addiction.
Wow. Okay. So what would you then define the root of your addiction?
Trauma. What I now know to be spiritual warfare. Things fighting my bloodline, and also just not only spiritually being dispositioned through my bloodline for addiction, but also, like I said in the first interview, that's how I seen my parents cope with their problems. So I didn't know how to deal with life on life's terms without being high, because it was too painful to deal with the abuse, the trauma, just a lot of different things that happened over the course of my life.
Wow. So what was the process of recovery in a program?
So the first time that I went to treatment, well, let me just give y'all a testimony. When I was in high school and I was, of course, getting high and drinking, I had a principal in high school that was a Christian, right?
Okay.
And he favored me. He prayed for me. And now, you know, I know that that was God that just, you know, sent someone in my life. So I started going to AA meetings while I was in school. And I honestly didn't know anything about those meetings. I just went to get out of class, right? So I then started going to AA, NA. I really didn't like NA. So I started going to AA and got me a sponsor. And I got kicked out of AA because they said, you know, I was too religious. I was too much of a preacher, you know. So the concept of my relationship with Christ had always been there. It was just cultivating that relationship.
So they kicked you out of AA?
Yes.
That's incredible.
So then I went to a facility the first time, which was in 2000-something, like the early part of 2000. I want to say 2006. I went to a program that was NA and AA based for recovery. And it was a program here in Nashville that you could take your children with you. So I not only wanted myself to recover, but I wanted my children to recover. So I took my children with me. And then same scenario played out. I ended up having to leave because they said that a faith-based program would probably be more suitable for me. So they nicknamed me the preacher. That was the preacher on campus. So
wow.
I then went to like a transitional living, and then after that I relapsed again. So I went to another treatment center called the Hope Center, which was a faith-based recovery program. This was probably the end of 2000. So I had been in, this is three. Well, the transitional living wasn't recovery-based, but the Hope Center was a faith-based recovery program. Once again, I took my kids with me, and that's when the real healing started for me, was in 2000 and the later part of 2006 to 2007.
Okay.
So I had a counselor there who I absolutely detested because she drew things out of me that I did not want to deal with. I was so angry and so bitter and so full of rage. So from 2007, I did leave that program. I ended up relapsing again.
Now, you left the program because you were angry at this counselor?
No, actually what had happened was I had an opportunity to get housing, and my ex-husband came back in the picture, and I ended up relapsing because of that. Because I chose him over my recovery.
Wow.
Yes. So.
And all that, I'm sure all that counselor was trying to do was really get at the root causes
Oh, she did. She was so amazing. I actually love her to this day. I remember each time I would go to counseling, I would physically get sick because she made me face some hard truths and made me admit some things that I didn't want to admit, that I, some things that I had to deal with. And they tried so hard to get me to stay. But it's like once a person's mind is made up, you just have to, in the recovery world, it's like a revolving door. So you have to trust God that you plant seeds, but then when they go back out, you just have to trust Him that what you ministered to them while they were in your care, that it sticks somewhere, you know, down the road. So from 2007 all the way up until 3 years ago, I was in and out. I was a lukewarm Christian. I didn't want to surrender my addiction. I didn't want to surrender my anger. I didn't want to surrender my unforgiveness, my pain. I liked it. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. I was so used to being toxic, and I was so used to the concept that everybody was out to get me. So I had built walls up, and I had learned over that period of time being in recovery how to be a functional addict. That's what I wasn't ready to surrender. And this is, I like to say this, I didn't want to quit getting high. I just didn't want to feel the consequences of me getting high. So I still had that desire to use, but I didn't want the consequences.
Wow. So you weren't ready for recovery then?
Not fully, no. Mm-mm.
Wow. Basically, sooner or later, you had to make a real commitment to Christ.
Yes.
And that alone then would be the real starting point of recovery.
Yes, absolutely.
So then these are basically what, the three things to recovery?
I would say the biggest thing to recovery is first admitting that you need help. You know, the Bible says that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And it's really a life of surrender. And I apply so many recovery principles to every area of my life, because I realized I wasn't just addicted to drugs. I was addicted to food, being an emotional eater, you know, my weight going up and down. Of course, when you're in addiction, food is not on the priority list. So you deprive yourself of so many things. And so I had to learn how to surrender my eating habits. I had to learn how to basically surrender my heart. And I had to ask God to remove that desire to get high because I loved Him, not because I had to or I was obligated to. It's because I wanted to genuinely serve God wholeheartedly and not be a lukewarm Christian. I didn't want to misrepresent Him because I do love Him so much.
Okay. And you must at the same time realize after all these years, man, this is just flat destroying you.
Yes.
And yes. It's going to eventually kill you.
Yes. Absolutely.
And without the help of Christ, it's very hard to get out of addiction.
You can't.
Okay.
He who the Son sets free is free indeed. But I'm noticing in a lot of people in recovery, or maybe not in even just in recovery, I'll just say nowadays, people want a quick fix. We live in a microwave society. They think God has this magic wand and He's just going to poof, deliver you and it's done. No, that's not the way recovery works. It's layers of deliverance. It's layers of surrender. It's allowing God to change you from the inside out and dealing with those core things that got you into that predicament in the first place.
Well, whether it's alcohol recovery or a drug recovery, addictions, sounds like it's very similar to other things that need to be dealt with for, if you want to say recovery, like depression.
Yes.
A lot of people absolutely. In depression, they go into drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
For, I think, the very same reasons. They're hurting. They have pain. They're trying to mask it. They can't deal with it properly. And finally, they get a chemical imbalance in their mind and they're in depression.
Yes. And also, one aspect that I learned through, you know, in my recovery, just reflecting on past times of me getting high, it's because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know that I had a gift. I didn't know why I was weird. I didn't know why I seen and heard things other people didn't see and hear. And, it was a trick of the enemy making me think I was crazy or, you know, but when I got clean, those first, 30 days, I'd say even the first 90 days is so crucial because you're getting all your feelings back because all drugs do is numb you. They don't. And it's like when the effect of the drug wears off, then that's when reality sinks back in. Like, oh no, now it's worse, than it was before. So I think for people coming into recovery, the first year, we say in recovery, what is 1 year for the rest of your life? I don't believe in a 30-day program because it takes so long. Like, we don't get into sin overnight. So it takes some time to come out of those things. It's important to be around other people in recovery. It's important to have people that you're accountable to, with behaviors, with triggers. I mean, you have to really be intentional and you have to really understand the patterns the enemy's used in your own walk. I mean, for me in my recovery, I knew pain was a trigger for me. I knew being around the wrong people, the wrong crowd. Like, I would get a substantial amount of time clean and then I would fall because I would try to go and save those people that in fact are the ones that took me back out because I allowed them to, and then wrong relationship. It was always a man, or it was wrong friendships, wrong people that I was around. So now I don't engage because I know those two triggers are huge for me. And it could vary from person to person, but it's key to identifying your triggers so that you can have a plan. You have to be intentional. You have to strategize against the enemy when it comes to your recovery, your freedom. And you have to be proactive in those things so that you can maintain that freedom.
So, in other words, soul ties, friendships that when you are in this bondage, this addiction, this curse, and now you're seeking help, you literally need to block those people and stay away from them.
Yes, yes. It's kind of like if two people are in, let's say a man and a woman are in a relationship and they're not married. And one of them decides, hey, I'm going to get clean. Both of them are, let's just say both of them are in addiction. And then one of them decides to get clean. Well, the sobering process happens. So you will discover that you really didn't have anything in common with this man or this woman other than using together, other than getting high. That's not the case all the time. But in most of the cases, you'll discover once you get clean that you don't really have anything in common with that person except getting high. So when that process happens, you absolutely have to stay away from people, places, and things that caused you to relapse and get addicted in the first place.
And so, again, what are the three key things to recovery?
Number one, surrender. Number two, everybody's situation is different. I wouldn't recommend everyone going to a program because everyone's recovery is different. I would definitely, if you're experiencing things like legal troubles due to your addiction, you've lost your kids, you know, you can't hold a job, you're homeless, I would definitely say you need to go to a program and get some help. And learning a different way to live. Recognizing too that you have that and just admitting that you're powerless because you are in yourself. That's where Christ comes in. And he helps you to accomplish the thing that you can't do in your own strength. And the third thing I would say is maintenance.
Okay.
You have to have maintenance. And what do I mean by maintenance? I mean, you have to read your word. You have to go to church. You have to be around other people who are on the same path as you. You have to constantly be aware of your surroundings and maintaining that by your relationship with the Lord. And that means feeding your spirit, man. That means staying in a place of prayer. That means constantly renewing your mind by reading the Word of God and just allowing the water, the washing of the water of the Word to renew your mind, because the battle is in the mind. Once you've been delivered, that's a seal, that's done. But in order to maintain that deliverance, there are steps that you have to do.
So you have to be under, if we want to say, God's government or pastoral authority.
Yes, you need people that you're going to be accountable to.
And listen to them.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like a wife.
And you have to be teachable.
It's like a wife if she's married to a godly husband. Man, you need to come under that authority and not just constantly rebel.
Yes. And I see that a lot with people that aren't teachable and they won't humble themselves and they get this pride slips in. I've seen it over and over and over in the recovery communities. I've got this. It's that grandiosity. It's that spirit that I've arrived. You know, I don't need this anymore. And then when they go back out, guess what happens? They fall because they become too familiar with those that are accountable to them. They lose honor, they lose respect, and then they do it their own way again. And I was one of those people for a long time.
So let's summarize. How does one overcome trauma and abuse?
That's a good question. I overcame trauma and abuse through, number one, you know, my relationship with the Lord. I did have godly counselors, like the lady that was at the Hope Center. I had other resources in the community that I pulled from. But really, to be honest, it was submitting myself first unto the Lord. I mean, fully submerging and being humble and saying, I can't do this. I have got to be healed, recognizing what you need to be healed from. And God will, if you just ask him to send you people to help you and you pray to him with a sincere heart and say, look, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know who to talk to. Ask him those things. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Be very specific in your prayers. And ask the Lord to help you with the healing journey, with that process. It takes time. It takes time, and it takes you being patient with yourself. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And you know, the Bible says that we are changed from glory to glory. So I think that there's layers, just like an onion, you know, being peeled away. That's what it looks like for a person in recovery. It's just peeling those layers away until you get to the root, until, you know, God completely takes you on that journey. But you have to be teachable. You have to be humble.
Okay, we got less than 2 minutes. I just want to summarize some things. You came from, for those that did not watch the first program, if you did not, go to my website, worldministries.org. worldministries.org, and watch it or listen to it. It's on both radio and television. But you came from a dysfunctional family, a family that was in abuse, and that continued then to move on to you. You had some relatives that abused you, sexually mm-hmm. abused you, correct?
Yes.
And who were they again?
It was my uncle and my step-grandfather.
Wow. And so, ladies and gentlemen, again, be aware of this. 8 out of 10 girls, women, by the time 18, have been abused. And you've got to be careful. If your children don't want to sit on the lap of some relative, don't make them.
Amen.
You know, I've never made my children, force my children to sit on somebody's lap they didn't want to, because I believe God gives a discernment inside of them, and they know if it's safe or not.
Amen.
And so because of this abuse, it just led you down just a horrible path. And right now, you're free, thank God, but it was a hard journey.
It was. I won't sit here and lie and say that it was easy. It wasn't easy. But anything good is worth fighting for.
Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching again, God can set you free too. He set Lena free. He can set you free. There is nothing impossible, and never give up. My website is worldministries.org, worldministries.org. We do need your help to stay on this local television and radio program. May God richly bless you.